Everybody knows Ed Sullivan as the man who first brought Elvis Presley, the Beatles, the Supremes, Woody Allen, Carol Burnett, and Richard Pryor into millions of American homes. But each week, the man who was what amounted to the gatekeeper of American entertainment also presented a parade of plate spinners, marine drill teams, weird animal acts, magicians, ventriloquists, and a tiny little Italian mouse.
What are you going to be when you grow up?
I would like to be a scientist and do experiments.
Hey, that's a wonderful career.
But it's too dangerous for me.
Why do you say that, Topo?
The other scientists might think I'm the experiment.
Well, that's Topo Gigio, of course, our little Italian mouse friend. And, of course, Ed Sullivan. Kind of hard not to do it as an imitation. Gerald Nachman has written a book about Ed Sullivan and the history of his show. It's called Right Here on Our Stage Tonight. Does everyone say that to you, Mr. Nachman?
A lot of people do, and I find myself saying it, even though I don't do a very good Ed Sullivan impression. Everybody in time tries to do that.
Mr. Nachman is joining us from member station KQED in San Francisco. His book is called Right Here on Our Stage Tonight. When all is said and done, when you sweep out all the famous names, was this vaudeville on TV?
He streamlined vaudeville for TV. You know, when you went to a vaudeville show, I never did, I'm not that old, but you would watch maybe 2 hours, 2.5 hours, and every act would be 10 or 15 minutes. Well, he had an hour show, and he cut the comedians down to 5 minutes and a singer down to one or two songs, and he managed to pack in an awful lot into 1 hour.
He would introduce a lot of, well, like retired prize fighters, retired athletes, just here tonight in our audience, we want to introduce. I'm sorry, this is this is irresistible.
It's catching,
isn't it?
It's catching, yes. Yeah.
You could see Joe Louis, the great old heavyweight champ, would be introduced.
Well, something I found out in researching the book is that obviously those people didn't just happen to be sitting on the aisle in the audience. They were all paid $1,000 to stand up and wave. And he would have everybody on, famous people, war heroes, as you say, prize fighters. And I think the idea was to let everyone watching know that this was the only place to be Sunday nights at 8 o'clock.
That I have been in the newspaper business, I have never seen such a collection of stars in the flesh as are here tonight. Cary Grant, would you stand up and let the cookie see you? May West.
The show was not an immediate hit.
Well, the show was a gradual hit. He was an immediate flop. The critics just vilified him because he would freeze up when he got on TV, you know, turned into a cigar store Indian. And eventually he turned that around by becoming kind of an endearing guy, partly through such devices as talking to Topo Gigio, and that helped kind of warm him up. And also everybody came on and did imitations of him, and that kind of established his identity and his persona, and he became famous for being terrible.
But how long, Topo, do you think you'll last in television if you can't sing or dance or act?
Eddie, how long have you been on the air?
Topo, nobody likes a smart aleck mouse.
We have a really big shoe. A really, really big shoe.
Well, talk to us, please, about our little Italian mouse friend, Topo Gigio.
Well, it was a marionette, and it took six people to move the arms and the legs, and the toes would curl up, and the eyes would roll. It was a very peculiar act, and it was also an attempt by Sullivan to appeal to kids.
And it was a show that families would watch together. That was the whole idea of having acts for them. Now something for the kiddies, right?
Unheard of today that the whole family would watch. The grandparents and the parents and the kids would all watch the same show. But the kids watching that show would be exposed to things other than the music that they liked. Mm-hmm. They'd be exposed to comedians. They'd be exposed to, you know, ballet dancers, opera singers, and every level of culture. And their parents, by the same token, would be exposed to rock singers and so on. And so it was really a way of, he really did kind of knit the family together on Sunday nights for an hour anyway.
This song here is one of the saddest songs we've ever heard. It really tells a story, friends. Beautiful lyrics. It goes something like this. You ain't nothing but a...
You know, we could talk about the famous names, but let me ask you about some of the others. Eric Brenn.
Oh, yeah. Well, he was a master plate spinner.
Yeah.
And, you know, they had many, many plate spinners on the show and all kinds of tumblers and acrobats. And
I haven't seen a good plate spinner in years. I haven't seen a bad plate spinner in
Where
years.
Did they all go? That's the question I had
after
the Sullivan Show went off the air.
Paul Draper, who was a serious dancer, wasn't he?
Right. A great modern dancer, I think. Or I don't think he was a ballet dancer.
No, he was modern dance.
Yeah, and he was blacklisted from the show, as was Larry Adler, the famous harmonica virtuoso. And
blacklisted because they were blacklisted.
Well, they were blacklisted from TV, and the Sullivan wouldn't have them on, even though his sympathies were rather liberal, actually. People think of him as, because he looked like a banker or something, that people thought he was a conservative, but he was a lower middle class Irish Catholic who was, you know, married to a Jewish woman and had an Italian assistant. But he caved in on the matter of performers who were tainted in any way, because for him, you know, he was looking out for himself and the show.
To put something on the other side of his ledger, he did put on people like James Brown and the Supremes and Richard Pryor, for that matter, when a lot of other mainstream TV shows, when a lot of other mainstream news organizations wouldn't have him on.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, as everybody knows, Harlem, whenever any new musical trend has evinced itself in the popular field, whether it's the Charleston or the Black Bottom or any of the rhythm songs, the first area to find out about it in advance is Harlem.
He brought black performers onto TV, and almost all white TV in the early 50s, more than any other show. He would have Sammy Davis on when he was with the Will Mastin Trio, Pearl Bailey, kind of Harlem specialty acts like Peg Leg Bates, if you remember him.
I was about to ask about—I couldn't remember his name, but the one-legged dancer.
The one-legged tap dancer, and a guy named Pigmeat Markham, who later became famous on Laughing for Here Come to Judge. He would have
get back if we could to the one-legged tap dancer.
All right.
Wouldn't seem to be a good career decision for someone with just who is a.
Yeah, well, he was a hell of a tap dancer, I guess, and he was on several times.
It's very difficult to explain to people nowadays how, well, anything about Señor Wences.
Your name? My name is Señor Wences. Oh. This is Gianni.
He was a Spanish ventriloquist who had two characters. He would draw a face, two little button eyes, and lipstick on his fist, and he would talk to this little guy named Johnny, or Yanni, as he called him.
How was your throat today?
No, good.
No, no, sure. Oh, this is nothing. No, no, listen to me. Follow me. Let me see one thing. Do.
Do.
Re.
Re.
Mi.
Fa.
Fa. So.
So.
La.
La.
Ti. Ti.
Do.
Do. Good.
And then he had a disembodied head in a box, a guy with a beard in a box. And he would open and close the box and say, "It's all right." And the guy would say, "It's all right."
But
it would be muffled.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Hello, my friend. Not yet.
No.
No, 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 no. Are you tired?
No.
No?
No.
Okay.
It's all right.
All right.
It was very peculiar. And the Sullivan's Ed Sullivan's taste was pretty mainstream. So for him, this was kind of far out stuff, but it caught on. And, you know, as I say in the book, he didn't discover a lot of people, which is a misconception. He had people on who had already made it in other fields, whether they were recording artists or in nightclubs or movies or radio. So in a way, the show is a prism of what America was like in the 50s and 60s, because I always say that, you know, you can tell a lot about a country by what they choose to amuse themselves with.
Well, Mr. Nachman, nice talking to you.
Well, thank you, Scott. I appreciate being on very much.
Gerald Nachman, his new book. Can I do it one more time?
Yeah, go ahead.
Right here on this stage tonight, Ed Sullivan's America. So right. It's okay. This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon.